You're listening to the good.
Don't call me Paino.
The bad.
Absolute.
And the rugby.
Folded like a deck chair.
With Paino, Lord, and the Husk. I don't know what that means.
Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to this special edition of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby, brought to you by Heineken, as we look ahead to the Heineken Champions Cup final at Twickenham on Saturday. And would you believe it? There are fans back in the ground again. We are very much looking forward to being there. We've got competition details. We're looking forward to meeting a few of you at the game itself, which is an all-French affair, as some of you might say. Yeah. I've been working on that for a while.
That's why you're on this show, pal. That's why you're on this show.
The dross that you can expect. In terms of the backstory, it's more than a decade. I can't believe it's been a decade since Toulouse's familiar brand of glorious rugby was lighting up a final. They're up against the La Rochelle side, who don't mind playing a bit themselves, but into their first ever European finale in the big boys competition. Ben is here. As you would expect, Lord is here, and it is a huge honour to welcome the great, I mean, incredibly stylish, Yannick Nyanga as well. Just bringing a little bit of je ne sais quoi to proceedings, which we love. How are you, first and foremost? You all right? How did you get brought into this? Was it Ben who's convinced you? I'm wondering why a man as stylish and as classy as you has ended up on our podcast.
He just called me and said he wanted me in this show, and I owe Ben a lot. So
you don't owe me anything, and the only reason, I don't know why I did it already, because in the introduction you already killed me. I used to be this slick Frenchman, and now all of a sudden I'm just Ben, and then the as slick as French Idris Elba is rocking up, and he absolutely kills it. So I'm already, you know, downgraded four or five levels, which is only fair.
This is obviously a huge debt that you're paying. You can chalk off a lot of the favours that you owe to Ben, and in doing so, you're also killing Kayser's currency, which has been growing pretty astronomically here in the UK. So we're all having a lot of fun at this point. How are you, Yannick? I mean, obviously, you know, Toulouse through and through as a player, but Racing 92 at the moment. How's the day job?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm learning. I'm enjoying the my new job as a director of sport here. We had a great start of the season with this Champions Cup final, lost against Exeter. We wish we were in the final this Saturday, but that's the way it is. We had a lot of injuries after the Six Nations tournament, and also after our game against Edinburgh. We lost 13 players. 11 was from the starting team, so it was too much to be able to game. Not in one game, but in the last two games of the Six Nations and the quarterfinal, the game against Edinburgh.
Wow! This weekend, are you allowed to cheer for Toulouse? Do you want to cheer for Toulouse, or are you totally Racing 92 now and you really don't mind who wins so long as rugby is the victor?
I still have some friends in Toulouse, so I will cheer for Toulouse.
Good to hear. It's very nice to have you on the show, and we're looking forward to diving into, you know, the fabric of Toulouse and the club that you spent 10 years with and enjoyed so much success with. But Ben, I just want to start with you sort of first of all on the overall picture. All French affair at Twickenham, 10,000 fans in. Does it feel like we're getting a little bit of normality back in our lives?
I think the main thing is the 10,000 people. Listen, that's an absolute blessing. I think we've been waiting for this for a long, long time. Rugby is a sport of emotion, of passion, of commitment. It would have been extraordinary to offer the Toulouse and the La Rochelle fan and the possibility to come over to London for a weekend and to celebrate where rugby is. Right, drink 100 pints before, have a fantastic game, drink 100 pints after, and just enjoy. Well, not, I was going to say the sunshine, but basically the chucking it down the rain that has been in the last couple of days. But That's the normality. But just 10,000 people is already incredible. So I was at the Auto Nations Cup for the final of that competition, and there was 2,000 people. To be honest, it's not the same. But 10,000, I'm just hopeful that you will hear the cheer, the loud, and just the raw emotion that's going to be behind it. So that's already beautiful. It's a fantastic way to finish a competition with two teams, to be honest, who have been dominated from the get-go, who've offered some particularly impressive performances in terms of positive attacking orientated rugby, and that's why I'm delighted for the both of them to be there. But I would love to hear sort of Yannick's take on La Rochelle. We can speak about them because they deserve it, and they almost, they're that outsider that you want to do well because they represent everything that we like about rugby. Positive town, positive club, positive boys. But Toulouse, I would love. So I've hated Yannick for a long time in my career because they killed us. They killed us for a long time. And they had this winning culture, which was just mind-blowing. And then they went into a little dip, right, for a couple of years. And now they're back. And I was just wondering if La Rochelle win it, the boys like the Greg Aldritz and the Bourgarit and the Victor Vito will have a statue in La Rochelle for the rest of their life. If Antoine Dupont and all his mates win it, they're only part of the club, right? They will only join the club of Toulouse, and they'll be like, listen, mate, we've got 4 stars already. You just added one, but you didn't create history. And I was just wondering, Yannick, do you think that's a fair point, or do you think it's been so long that it will be an incredible success?
No, I completely agree with what you just said. I think when you're playing for Toulouse, you're part of something way bigger than yourself. And as you said, you're just making the legacy continue when you're playing for Toulouse. And as you said, when you play for La Rochelle, making the history this way, because I don't think they even won the French Championship. And as a first title, the Champions Cup will be a huge, huge addition to the club. They are working very good for ages now. I think it's been 10 years. They are back in the top 14. And credit to Patrice Collazo, who made a lot for this club. And he's now in Toulon, but I think he has a part in the development of all the players like Gourdon, or he was originally there for the signing of a player like Victor Vito. So I think La Rochelle will get there one day. I just hope it won't be this Saturday, because it will be too easy for them. First final, first win. We know the struggle. We've been there for 3 times. 3 loss. Benjamin can talk also about the fact that getting into a top 40 final or a Champions Cup final, not winning it. So he knows what it is. And we'll be so jealous if Laoshen win it for the first final.
You're picking this up very quickly. We love guests who come on and pile into our regular host, Yannick. You are very welcome whenever you choose to be. Ben, welcome to the club. There are so many things to talk about. And Mike, I want to ask you about the meat of this and about, I think, why English fans and Irish and Welsh fans, Scottish fans, of course, should tune in this week. But Yannick, you were Toulouse through and through as a player, as I said. I just want to get a bit more from you on the history of that club. And when you arrived early in your career, what was it about Toulouse? What did you learn in the early years? And what does the club mean to you nowadays?
When I signed for Toulouse, I said that I was 21 at this age, and I signed for the club of my dream. I'm born in 83, and the first team I could see winning was Toulouse. 94, 95, 96, 97, 4 titles in a row, the double in 96. So I wanted to play for this team, and also when I chose to sign there, the year I chose to sign there, they won the Heineken Cup against Stade Français. So I was watching the game every weekend, and I love the fact that this club has a real vision of the rugby they want to play. So the way you play rugby in Toulouse is the same if you play under 6 years old or in the first team. So from there, you can breathe this way, this type of playing on every stage of the club. You can see the staff of the first team, all former players. They all play for the club. So there is a huge playing identity of Toulouse. I think what La Rochelle is building, they got everything like Toulouse, except the style of playing. They changed a lot of coach. I think they changed 3 times in the last 3 seasons. So talking about the way they want to play, it's not as strong as it is in Toulouse. I don't know if I made myself clear. Or...
Yeah, you have, very much so. What is that style of play? I mean, we can all see it when Toulouse play, but how do you identify it and how is it baked into the fabric of the club? Is there a name for it? How do you get it from top to bottom?
A lot of people talk about the French Flair. I don't know if it's the French Flair. I don't know even if the French Flair does exist. But there is someone who can talk about it very well. It's Pierre Villepreux. He was talking about the intelligence of every situation, intelligence situationnelle in French. So it means that you are playing what you see. And he was giving the example of this type of intelligence is you come to a place, you never been there, but you know you will come by the entrance door. He's talking about this intelligence. And if the door is closed, you will try to find a way to get in the house. So he doesn't want to give the solution to the player, but he want to expose player to situation that they will find a way to fix it. It's hard to explain in English.
It's in the moment and playing what you see.
When you train in Toulouse, it's all about games with rules. And these rules gives behaviors to players. And right. and then you watch the game, you watch the answer you found because of the rules, and then you have a chat on this and you find a solution. And this way, when someone is doing something, everyone react the same. And you can't defend that. When it's play at the best level, you can't defend that, because even the ball carrier doesn't know what you're gonna do, because the defense will tell him what to do. So it's really hard to explain that to someone who didn't experience that. Yeah. But you have to know that a lot of players learn to play rugby this way from 5 years old, 6 years old. And when they arrive at 20, at the age of 20, a player like Romain Tamac, for example, he is used to that from the start. So it's so easy for them.
There's a wonderful French mystique to it. It's like rugby in a different matrix. And I just wonder, Ben, from your perspective, you look at Toulouse, you've already said that, you know, you've hated Yannick for all of the success, but how does the rest of French rugby look at Toulouse?
Listen, I think you always want to hate the winners, and they won so much for so long time that there was a little bit of hatred, which was obviously down to jealousy, which was the situation that I was faced in. Because He obviously put my head in the mud when he spoke about all the finals that I lost, but he had the courtesy of not saying that in 2005 he beat me, Toulouse beat me, you know, before he joined them. But it's just, but now there's an aspect of the revival of French rugby is through the French team, and everybody's delighted for it. But whether you like Toulouse or not, you love Antoine Dupont because he represents a style of rugby that everybody wants to play. Whether you liked, you know, La Rochelle or not, you like Brice Dulin, because he just represents the style of play that we like. Whether you like Toulouse again, there's Romain Tamac and all those guys. So there's more than just a club, you know, sort of brotherhood and allegiance to. And then Toulouse are in the final against La Rochelle. So the French fans will be absolutely delighted. But there's the way of winning that sort of speaks to everyone. And when they're on fire, Toulouse at the moment are capable of producing such a high quality, expandable sort of style of rugby that appeals to everyone. Cheslin Kolbe, you feel that he was, like you said, with Romain Tamac when he was 7 years old and in the Stade Toulousain Academy and learning all that. And you're just delighted because that style of rugby appeals to a morose sort of last 18 months where we want to have a big smile on our faces when we watch rugby. So I think the French fans are, for one, absolutely delighted to see that there's two French teams in the Champions Cup final and one in the Challenge Cup final. That means that French rugby is back where it should be. That means that the boys have worked very, very hard and made a lot of sacrifices to actually put, you know, France back on the map. So after that, it's just icing on the cake, and it's made the best team win and made the best type of rugby win.
Yannick, I want to find out a bit more about what it was like coming into a Toulouse team that sort of beat everything in front of it, and the likes of Fabien Pelous and Yannick Brew, etc. I mean, was it a welcoming environment? Did you have to fight very hard to get into it? What did you learn from the senior players as you were coming through?
Yeah, it was really. I was scared before coming there because I was arriving at the end of a big era, like Fabien Pelouse, as you said, Yannick Bru, Jean Bouillou, all big players who won a lot, Xavier Garbajosa. And I was a little bit scared about how will I be received. And it was the completely opposite. It's great to see how big the players are and how simple they are. Benjamin know a lot of them. A player like Yannick Jauzion is so simple. He's, I think, one of the best center in the French history. And he's so simple. And he's a farmer. He loves simple things. Very humble. And this push you to yourself to be humble and to work very hard. And as I told you, the trainings were all about games, especially in the preseason, for everyone to get to this mentality. And we were not having the pressure to train, but we were training a lot. So yeah, it's different. I never experienced anything like this in my life. I played for Béziers, then Toulouse, and now Racing 92. The rugby is more structured in the two other clubs. Even with the French team, it was all about phases, building phases, and try to outfit your opponent. But in Toulouse, the main difference will be that 80% of the time was focused on our game, our style, our vision, and maybe 20% on the opposite, the opponent, sorry. And when I move in the other club, it was different. It's like 80% of the strategy and maybe 20% of our style and our vision. So it needs a lot of time to get there. That's why it's hard to build this somewhere. You need to have like the president who allow you to have the time to build this, because you can't just build that in 1 year. Mike was saying that it wasn't his style, but I can assure you that a player like Thierry Du Sautoir, when he arrived in Toulouse, he wasn't the most skilled back row of our championship, but he grew a lot playing this game and training this way, and I think it helped him to become the player he is now.
Were you going to pick up on that, Ben, just in terms of the fabric of Toulouse and how integral it is to the French game?
Just ask Yannick why from Béziers, and they were him and Dimitri Zardeski were absolutely killing it in the youngsters for Béziers and stuff. Who's an ancestral sort of a pillar of French rugby, Béziers, right? It used to be an absolute decade of winning structure and all that. But still, those two guys who were not born and bred, but sort of, you know, raised in the academy of Béziers, and before in Agde, they were desperate to go to Toulouse. And then Dimitri ended up coming to Stade Français and Yannick came to Toulouse. But because Toulouse represents Man United of football, it's the institution, it's the grandeur, it's the decades of winning. It's the four stars on the jersey. I repeat the same thing, but winning a Brennus, for me, winning a title, a French title, unless you're in Clermont in 2010, when it's the first time in history, I think you win it for yourself. You win it for your team, the 15 guys, but you win it for yourself and your mates and all that. For me, really, the Champions Cup, and again, I know I've never won it, but it would have been putting a star on a jersey for a lifetime, right? And I would have felt that I would have contributed of just adding a star. The symbolic of having a star on the jersey for me is just absolutely priceless. So when you're a 16-year-old and you grow up in France, you do like Yannick said, you look at the titles that they won in 92, 93, all the way to 96 or whatever. You know that their kit is the coolest kit that you want. So you go in the under 18s for France and everybody wants to swap with the Toulouse guys for a pair of shorts or a pair of socks because they just look cooler than others. Then you see them win on the seniors team. You know, they were like the coolest of them. They were the badass of the badass. And so to see them bounce back. So we all loved to hate them when they were winning so much. We didn't really understand why they got into such a dip. And to be honest, there's a lot of people in France who are almost happy to see them stumble upon themselves and not do well, because that's just a reality that we tend to do, to despise absolute winners out of jealousy. And now that they're back, it's just good for everyone, because they are the strong arm of, they are a massive thing in France in terms of French national exposure. They represent much more than just themselves. They represent a way of playing like Yannick described. They represent a style of play, like we said. They represent, you know, it's like tomorrow you get Man United back on where they should be. Everybody wants them to win. It's just a legacy of sport. And I shouldn't say this, but I would love to see them succeed because it's got something special in the hearts of all French rugby players.
It clipped up and popped out in the Parisian press and in Clermont. Kayser says, go to lose. Who'd have thought that? Yannick, before we move on to the sort of the game itself, and actually and La Rochelle as well, just your view on why the dip happened.
It's hard to say, but I think they went a little bit far with the generation who won a lot. I mean, Sensis Johnson, Pato Albacete, Thierry Du Sautoir, they were legends at the club. We won 2008, 2010, 2011, 2012. So 4 trophies in 5 years. At some point, they were injured a lot and they were key players. So when your key players doesn't play, it's hard to succeed. And the next generation maybe was struggling a little bit. You know, when you go after Thierry Du Sautoir, when you go after Patrice Albacete, when you go after Sensis Johnson, it's a lot to deal with. But as I said, when they came back with this generation of Romain Tamac, Antoine Dupont, François Cross, Julien Marchand, they grew up winning for Toulouse. Because as Benjamin said, you can see in the under 16, under 14, under 18, Toulouse is winning all the time. At this time, I think the Espoir, the under 21 of Toulouse, just lost one game. And you can see them every time they make some turnover in the team. They almost won in CAF, which CAF is a great side at the moment. And with a, I think, average of 21, 22 years old team, they was about to win in CAF. So you can see that what they're building is meant to last. It's not just win a trophy. It's about a legacy, as Benjamin said.
I think that's the scary. So, I did a couple of times.
Did you feel the weight of the club when you played against it? And do you know what I mean by that? That you're playing more than just 15 players. You're playing the history and the glory and the romance and the success, etc.
Yeah, for sure. I think travelling down there, playing away. I know that Gareth, he scored one of the tries of the tournament down there. We still lost, but we came away with a moment. But yeah, you do. I think you know you're going to a hotbed. It was, you know, it was almost, especially when you're going down to that area of France and sort of the strength around it. And then also my memories are like going down and we beat Biarritz down in Biarritz when sort of Yash and Imanol were all playing and Z and all those guys are on fine form. Obviously, I could actually probably name that team. But yeah, you get there and you know there's with an expectation that it's hard to win. So you go you're almost put yourself as an underdog, even if you're in a team that's firing. Because you're going down into their patch, now there's crowd back. The crowd plays their role, but then the history of the players, especially when you go to somewhere like Toulouse, you can't get away from it. These guys have done it. They know what to do, and that could be a massive thing this weekend. In the fact that, you know, one team's running out with 4 stars on their chest, and the other one's running out with 0. And you know, whether you think it's a mental thing or not, it'll be in there. And that's the thing that really can count in finals like this.
We see that time and time again, particularly in Europe, that teams have to earn their place at the top table. We mentioned before, Sarri's Munster have all had to go through the pain in order to get to the glory. Ben, I loved your Man United analogy. Here's a test for your love and knowledge of the English Premier League. Who are La Rochelle if Toulouse are Man United?
Easy.
Go on.
In the Premier League.
I thought you'd say Leicester.
Leicester, I'm not so sure because that would be a little bit unfair in the sense that, to be honest, who saw the Premiership title of Leicester coming? It was really out of nowhere. Extraordinary bunch of players, extraordinary coach, extraordinary dynamic, but it was really a sort of a one thing. At the moment, La Rochelle are second of the top 14 and they're in the final of the Champions Cup. So it's not like they're just performing in their national league, right? They're dominating both things. I just feel that in La Rochelle, which makes them pretty lethal, and I don't want to take, you know, downplay everything that I said before, but they've got John O'Gibbs leaving in 3 months. So you don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months in La Rochelle. You don't know how long Skelton is going to be able to perform at that level. You don't know how long Vito is going to go at that level. You don't know how long, you know, Winnie Antonio is going to go at that level. You don't know how long this team that's playing at the moment for La Rochelle is going to be able to perform. And I think they've got the perfect mindset instead in saying, it's there for the taking. We don't need to win it 10 times. We don't know if we're going to win it 10 times. We don't know if we're building a legacy, but we're just 80 minutes from creating history. And I think that the argument of saying, like Yannick, and I agree with it, of saying, you know, you need to build, you need to go through the grind, you need to go through the pain, is again, is myself saying I could not digest of seeing somebody getting something so easily when I know how hard it is. It's like Tins, I'm sure in 2019, you were screaming for England to win. But there must have been a little teeny weeny weeny part of you saying, you know, I wish these guys actually went through all the graft that it was to deliver, because it's just human nature to know when you know how hard it is. But sport sometimes gives you an opportunity. You can think, well, hang on, that's too easy. They don't deserve it, you know, but it's just 80 minutes of rugby and then they can have it. So La Rochelle will be the Exeter. La Rochelle will be potentially the Leicester in the Premiership football.
I'll say Chelsea.
You'd say, are you a Chelsea fan?
Oh, hang on. I forgot. No, I forgot to say. If you want to speak about football.
I'll say Chelsea before. Chelsea's a strong side, but there is no Chelsea style like there is for Man United, you know, like the Fergie time or something. But in Chelsea, it was a great club, big players, good players. But depending on the coach they had, they were playing a different style of football. And I think La Rochelle is quite the same. It's a strong side, very structured club. They have good means, but they play different rugby depending on their coach. It's not the case in Toulouse. Toulouse is a strong thinking about the rugby they want to play, and they see the coach and the players are who are the best ambassador of this style of rugby. So no matter who's coaching, you need to feel this Toulouse style that at the moment, what I think, you don't have in La Rochelle. For example, at the moment, I can see that La Rochelle team is a Ronan O'Gara team. I can see his style on this team.
How big a factor is Ronan in what La Rochelle don't have in that European pedigree? Can one man bring the history and the importance and the significance, do you think?
I think Ronan is one of the best guy I ever seen in my whole life. He's so confident about winning and about how important it is. And he's ruthless when it comes to what it takes to win. So he doesn't accept on things that doesn't take talent. He's ruthless. So he won't allow you to I don't know, to not to know your goals, not to to give your best on the field. He won't allow you to walk on the field. He'll be very hard on people. So he gives a team mentality that no matter who you facing, it's all about yourself and what you give to the team. It's a huge opposition of style, and I was talking about the Toulouse, but it's not written that Toulouse will win this game. I can assure you that if every time Toulouse won the European Cup, it was against a French team. But I think La Rochelle is the, and us, of course, Racing 92, could have been the worst team they could face in final.
Did Ronan coach you? Was he part of the...
Yeah, he coached me. It was, yeah, my last coach in... Yeah, when I arrived at Racing, he was already coaching the defense for 3 years.
And what did you make?
I told you, Alex, that he impacted everyone who was there, because we had him on the show, Yannick, with Alex a couple of weeks ago. I was blown away by his humility of saying he was a legend at Munster as a player. the easy route for him would have been to become a coach, either straight for Ireland, maybe in the backroom staff or something, or to be a big coach for Munster. And he decided to go the hard way because he was like, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it absolutely the best of my ability. And he said, I was already a good coach then, but I wanted to be the best coach that I could possibly be. So he went to racing and he gradually, and he was good. And I'm sure you can tell us, Yannick, if he had offers to stay on or something. But then he decides to go to Crusaders to seriously challenge himself. And then he goes to La Rochelle. And I'm sure in the next, I don't know, 4 or 5, maybe post 2023, you'll see him in the Ireland setup. But it's that type of mentality is that he doesn't want to become Ireland coach. He wants to be the most successful Ireland coach in history. You know, he doesn't want to be the La Rochelle coach from next year. He wants to take La Rochelle to the next thing. And I think, like Yannick said, it's that winning mentality that can allow La Rochelle to be like, press pause, focus on 80 minutes. We don't need to win it 25 times. Have the humility to say, maybe if we play the game 12 times, we'll win it once, maybe. But we don't need to win it 12 times. We just need to you know, beat them by 1 point over 80 minutes. So that might be just that key differentiator that he can bring.
Yeah, don't mistake yourself. I don't want La Rochelle to win by pure jealousy, because that's the first final. And we played three, lost three. So that's the only thing. But as Benjamin said, Ronan for me is one of the best coach I ever had, and he was a young coach at this time. So I think that going 2 years at the Crusaders and being back with La Rochelle now, he must have been maybe two or three levels better than he was when he was at Racing. And as I said, it's two opposition of style. There is nothing is better than the other one. It's just different. I grew up for 10 years in the Toulouse ways. That's why I know it the most. But I know what Ronan can bring to a team, and that's huge. The confidence he can give them, the approach of big games he has is amazing.
It's very unusual that you get a young coach who sort of captures the interest in their journey in the way that Ronan has. I mean, there are rugby fans in the UK and Ireland who really want to know what he's doing and where he's going and the impact he's having. And I mean, Tins, you probably know better than anyone. I mean, there is something very sort of charismatic and magnetic about Ronan. He speaks brilliantly. He delivers success. I just wonder how much impact one man can have. You know, he's a proud Munsterman, a son of Limerick, fluent in French, and taking and creating extraordinary success at La Rochelle. I mean, we obviously got to pay due credit to John O'Gibbs as well, who's having a huge input in it. But sort of Ronan has this kind of captivating nature to him. I just wonder if you can put your finger on why.
I'll tell you a story about Ronan. On my last season, my first games weren't that good. And one day Ronan just came to me with a book, I think, of maybe 250 pages. It wasn't a book. It was just pages. It just print. And when you come to more than 30 years old and you want to perform, what does it take you? So it was everything about the training, about the recovery, about your diet, everything. It was 200 pages, and he didn't say anything to me like I was playing bad, or he said just, I think at the moment you need that. And I just read this book for a week or two, and I don't know, it's just like he sent me a message without saying it. And I had the best season of my career was my last
number
season.
Eight. Number
as number eight. Yeah. And I was like preparing my games like nothing, absolutely nothing was luck in my preparation. I didn't let anything to random. I was planning all my diet, all the way I was, the strategy, everything. And we had a lot of chat with Ronan before the games, after the games. He's like coach and players at the same time. So a lot of coach forget about how they were when they were playing. And he didn't. He didn't. So he's still talking to you as a player, but with the coaching experience. And he won a lot as well. So yeah, he's a special dude.
It's a remarkable transformation for a man who was unbelievably angry on the field. Wasn't it? I mean,
he still is as a coach. Yeah. I saw him hammered players. Hammered. He was when you were on his target, it was like you wish you weren't again. It's like I remember one day Julien Bruno, a prop, playing for Racing 92. We were playing against Toulon, and they just turnover on turnover. So they were about to score, and then they lost the ball 5 meters from the line. So we took the ball to their 5 meters line and lost the ball, and they scored. So I think it was a 4 minutes phases after phases, and they intercept, and everyone were back under the post for the conversion, and Julien was at the five of Toulon, and it didn't seem important to walk or to run until the post, and he just wait for the team in the middle for the kickoff. So we just analyzed the thing, and at the end of this he said, now just watch Julien Bruno, and it just made a highlight of Julien, and I was feeling so ashamed for him, because it was he was pointing him. It's like, you let down the team, and it was true, but he was talking to Julien, and he was talking to all the boys in the team, and you didn't want it to be on his target, but at the same time, every time someone was doing something good, he was very good at putting the light on things that you don't see. You know, for example, you score a wonderful try and a lot of good pass and offload and everything, but he will point things that you never see. So that the guy who just cleaned the ruck on his arm and took out two or three players. So you were willing to do the dirty job on the field because you know that it will be evaluated after.
I love it. Ronan criticising props and complimenting clear-outs.
Well, I think he did that most of his career when he was playing at 10, because he wanted an armchair ride, didn't he? So, I mean...
I don't know if you listened to the show that we did with him, Tiz. He speaks so well. He sees the game in such a sort of simple way. And with most things in life, simplicity often pays the biggest dividends.
Yeah, and with that, I imagine his detail when he was playing was astronomical. You know, he directed that Munster team around a little bit. And would you say he was the best running a threat? No. Would you say he knew how to get the team to win? I think was his probably strongest side to when he was a player. So I think he's taken that into his coaching, which is why he's so hard on the nuts and bolts, because I imagine he worked pretty hard as well. But then what he's also managed to keep is, and something that sometimes coaches coming out of rugby miss, which I think Yannick was touching on as well as Ben, was you've got to remember what it's like to be a player. You've got to remember those physical sessions you do during the week. And he does, and he remembers that. Rugby has to still be fun, because if it turns into a job, it's not fun. You're not going to get that culture that you want. I think he's definitely learnt from that. And I was amazed at how relaxed he seems now when he coaches. And, you know, he talks about it, and he said, you know, he doesn't spend every hour analysing games. And that is quite refreshing, knowing my little stint in coaching. I watched so many games. I was still actually training, so I had to get it all done outside, so I was doing hours. But I get what you're saying, and it's having the belief of creating a culture where you're encouraged to, you bring the X factor, and I'll make sure you do the nuts and bolts, and you're in your position. So when the X factor doesn't always come off, or you've still got the nuts and bolts that are going to hold you together and stop the leaks. And I think that is what you see sort of with the La Rochelle team at the moment. Obviously, you've got the bright lights in terms of West, Vito, you know, Aldrich, Skelton. But then why they all work back. They always have 15 men on their feet defensively to always have people to go pressure. They work hard to get back. They have five or six guys who are outstanding at turnovers, so they work as a team and a pack. And I think that's where he's just facilitated them to go and have fun, but he's knitted it all together in a way that allows them to do both sides of the coin, have the fun, but also protect themselves when they need to be. And that's, I think, the true art of a coach is – as Yannick said, there's a to lose way, but is he trying to create a way? Now, is he going to get that long or want that long at La Rochelle to create a way that they will play and move forward? I don't know. Or is it always going to be a Ronan Gara way?
We shall see. Should we talk about the game itself and where perhaps it might be won or lost? We've touched on a few individuals, but Ben, you know, what do you see here as a contrast, a similarity in the way these two are going to play? Which matchups most excite you? What is going to be the difference in the Heineken Champions Cup final at Twickenham?
There's some pretty incredible matchups, to be fair. Famuina, Winnie Antonio, just the two biggest tight head props with incredible hands, you know, like human pianos, whatever, going at each other, but capable of shifting the ball whenever needed. And that's the key differentiator between the two. Joe Tacori against Big Will Skelton, or, you know, or the Rory Arnaud brothers or whatever. There's some matchups absolutely everywhere. The only thing that worries me for Toulouse is the injury list for their backs, which has been ongoing for the last couple of weeks, almost months. Sofiane Guitou, and everybody forgets, but has been absolutely tearing it up at number 13 for Toulouse, and he's been injured for months. And now his replacement, who sort of stood on that number 13 jersey, Zach Holmes, is very, very unlikely to play. You don't know, and Yannick can tell you, the Guinovese tradition is to whine and whine and whine all week about injuries and, you know, the sky is about to fall on our heads and you don't know. So until the team lineup is officially announced on Saturday, I'll believe it when I see it. But apparently he's unlikely to play. And if he doesn't, I actually don't know who they're going to play there. So they might shift Romain Tamak at center, put Thomas Ramos at 10. I don't know. Or, you know, you definitely have Médard, Cheslin Kolbe and probably Mathis Lebel on the other wing. But it's just that depth at the backs that they're a little bit missing. And I'm not concerned at all about the individual quality of players. I'm just a tiny bit concerned about the defensive automatism between the two centers, which can be sort of picked apart, and that can be pretty tough. And I've never defended the centers, so Tins can tell us, but I'm sure it's pretty complicated when people come at full tilt to actually defend who you're going to pick on, and you need to have that bit of belief in you. So that's the only thing that worries me for Toulouse. But if they're on fire, I think they can be extremely disruptive, and they've got an ascendancy. But I also know from a fact, for being coached by and we praise Ronald O'Gara, yes, but I don't know him as a coach. I know John O'Gibbs, and he's got a serious rugby brain in him, and he will come up with something special. He loves a line out play. He loves something special to come for the special occasion. And I think they've got the most comfortable situation, being like, we've got nothing to lose. They've already created history for their club. It's 80 minutes before creating even, you know, getting our statue in the city center. So it's going to be an adaptation to also international refereeing from Luke Pearce. It's going to be absolute key discipline and seizing your opportunities, because it's not going to be a 40-point game. And the margin between the two teams is big, but it's not that big at all. So I think there's an element of saying who's going to play 12 or 13 for Toulouse, see how that combines. And also who adapts to the refereeing of Luke Pearce, see that combines. And see what Jono comes out with in terms of lineup moves for La Rochelle.
What about for you, Yannick? I mean, you know, Ben has touched on a number of the head-to-heads there, but what excites you about Toulouse? What excites you about La Rochelle, given, you know, what you know of them from Racing 92?
Yeah, I think the opposition of style, what excites me the most is like, at the moment, you know, it's like, I like to say that in rugby, there is fashion in rugby also. So there is a period that the best defense always win. There is a period that the best offense always win. There is a certain type of fancy in rugby, and it's most of the time the world champion who set it. Like the ABs is world champion, so they set like the fashion style of rugby. The South Africa wins the trophy, and they set the different type of rugby. So this is two opposition of style. It's different when it's not when Exeter play the Saracens, for example, which is quite the same style. I think for example La Rochelle with the first team never took any try on drives. The way they defend drives in lineouts is outstanding, and Toulouse also build the attacking style with being strong in forwards, fixing the defense by doing a lot of drives, and then they have space backs against backs
on the same line. So they love to launch the game on scrum, for example, because they don't have to fix the forwards. But will Toulouse be able to set the style of play? I'm not sure. And the way La Rochelle defender has waved on Toulouse, I don't know if Toulouse will be able to put the game in place. If they arrive to do that, I think they will win. But I don't know if La Rochelle will allow them to do so.
Sitting on the fence, as we say in England, you're picking up splinters with a maybe, but maybe not.
But I think what you're trying to get across is it is a complete clash of styles in some
way. Which is brilliant. I mean, it's exactly what you want in a final.
Yeah, and exactly. and that is why, you know, I think Toulouse is the greatest team in Europe at this present moment when they're playing their game. Now, they happen to just be playing one of the best teams at spoiling a game like that because of how many defenders they keep on the ball, how defensively aware they are in terms of pressure on the ball, when they go for pressure on the ball. You know, you look at, they've got the likes of Skelton, Bottier, Vito, Guardan, Liebenberg, who all go after ball at the right time and they make right decisions, because I think their defensive setup is basically to try and keep 15 men on their feet, so they'll only go when they get a chance to. And then if you slow Toulouse's ball down a lot, and you've got 15 men on your feet, it gives you a lot of time to go after people. Now, we still
see
that
bloody hell.
Toulouse can win that way, but they definitely prefer high tempo rucks, quick clean outs, forwards pick and go on quick ball as well, and then they find the right time where they create overlaps and then they release their back line. So that's, I think, what he's trying to get at, is it is a genuine clash of styles, and whoever can impose their game will come out on top, I think.
Also in Toulouse they have a lot of game changer. When you talk about Justin Kirby, Romain Tamac, Antoine Dupont, a lot of game changer. So I think La Rochelle can dominate all the way for 60 minutes maybe, and on one sparkle, you know, it reminded me the how it's maybe about Souvenir for Benjamin, but the final against Toulon, Clermont against Toulon, they were dominating this game. The first half is like you could feel that Clermont will win by 30 or 40 points maybe, but on a drive, Drew Mitchell just took this ball and went to score this try. So in the final, a game changer is a lot, you know. I think the Clermont team at this time were well more organized than the Toulon team, but Toulon had game changer in that team.
He's getting very good at this, Yannick. Very, very good at this. He knows where to hit you where it hurts. A great moment for Drew Mitchell in European rugby.
Yeah, it was a great try, actually. One of the best tries. Did Ben miss one of the tackles as well? I don't know. Just throw another boot in there. Why not?
We're running out of time and patience with our esteemed French regular. I must just say, it's such a good tournament. And it's so good to have heavyweights and history against upstarts and excitement. Pick me a winner and pick me a star of the match. And Ben, you can go first. You can keep it short and sweet if you're running out of love for what we're doing here today.
So I'll pick a very, very, very close, tight winner for Toulouse. And I will say 21-19 for Toulouse. And my star player will be the one and only... I'll go for Max Médard. I reckon Max Médard's experience, left boot, kicking in the corner, just doing something unexpected. Chelsea Colby won't be under too much pressure. Antoine Dupont will be milk on the stove. Everybody will look looking out for him. And I'll pick Max Médard.
Love it. Rolling it back. Yannick, the winner will be, and who do you think will have most impact?
It's hard to say. As Benjamin, I will say a close game. I'll say Toulouse as well. Maybe like a 19-17, for example. Okay. And my man of the match will be Cheslin Kolbe, because I think he's the game changer in the team. And as Benjamin said, Antoine Dupont, everyone expects him to be great, to be good, because he always has been good during the season with French team and with Toulouse. Cheslin Kolbe didn't have a good season since he arrived from his world title. And this season, I don't have a big game of him. Maybe against us,
playing 10 in the start of the season. But he didn't have a great game. So if you analyze Toulouse, you know he's a threat. But I'm not sure that you mention him as a threat regarding this season. But he's a big player, so you see big players, big games. So.
Two for Toulouse in tight ones. Two sort of box office stars of the match. Tins.
I was going to just go the opposite just to provide balance. But if I put my hand on my heart, I think Toulouse will win for the same reason as Yannick said. I don't think they'll be able to contain all their match breakers. I think it's going to be a bit of a higher scoring game, though. I'm going to go 32-23 to Toulouse.
Can I add something, Alex? So Yannick put his finger on it by saying how Tristan Colby basically hasn't had an extraordinary season, but considering he's set the bar so high, it's pretty complicated for him. But there's one guy who had an absolutely extraordinary season, and he's been getting better weekend after weekend. It's unfortunately Julien Marchand who's gonna miss out on that one. He's been suspended for 3 or 4 weeks after an illegal clear out against Bordeaux. On Romain Burros, and I feel for him because he told me that he felt that he wasn't hurt at all. So they got a letter from Romain Burros saying that it was nothing. They got a physician, sort of proving that the force of the hit was not particular. I think he's been absolutely outstanding. And I think when Ronald O'Gara highlights a Chelsea Kobe try, if he's the coach of Toulouse, he will be highlighting something that Julien Marchand has done just before. And missing him is going to be such a big blow that it might impact the overall performance of Toulouse. So it might be his brother, Guillaume Marchand, who will start, or Peato Movaca, I don't know. But and either are very good players, but they're still very young, not the same experience, not the same leadership capacity that Julien Marchand has proven. And on the other side, Bourgarit is doing really well, the La Rochelle hooker. So that's another big blow that we didn't mention, but I just thought I'd throw it out there because when you talk about a guy who's been, bloody hell, he's been absolutely on fire for the last 8-9 months, it's him.
Are you therefore talking yourself out of Toulouse?
Yeah, I'm taking my switch back. I'm taking my switch back now as well. And I'm going to use that as an excuse.
Row back from that.
Yeah.
Were you going to add to that, Yannick? You're happy. You've made your Toulouse bed and you're happy to lie in it.
No, yeah. But as I said, it's going to be very close. So I can mistake myself. So I just say that with no security because...
Sport is sport.
Sport is sport. That's what we want. We want a mega final between the heavyweights of Toulouse and the incredible challengers of La Rochelle. Some wonderful, wonderful subplots in this game. Some fabulous matchups. And we have got fans back at rugby matches. What an impact they've had already, despite the fact we're still some way off full houses.
I was going to say, Alex, just on that, do you think we can have the madness that we've had over the past 2 days in terms of matches?
Please.
9-10 tries disallowed at the Bristol game. Can we have that madness of just having fans back and make the games like that? That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. And when Ben, you said earlier you drink 100 pints before the game and 100 pints after the game. If I could just add, please drink those 100 pints responsibly because I think otherwise Ofcom will be on our case. But if you're going, enjoy it, make a lot of noise, bring a lot of colour. We are very much looking forward to meeting our competition winners. God, it's going to be nice to be back in stadiums. And actually, Tins, I was trying to think before this, the last time I saw you, I reckon it would be February 2020. We can have a cautious hug.
And then we're sat front row on the sofa, aren't we, as well?
Yeah, we've got Heineken chairs and a couple of beers and pretty idyllic. Ben's got to work, so he's bringing the class. Are you doing BT?
I am, yeah. I'll come and give you a high five, don't worry.
Come and have a high five. Go well, enjoy the game. Yannick, can I just say, firstly, thank you so much for joining us. And secondly, how wonderful it's been to have an incredibly stylish, eloquent, respected, successful and lucid back rower on this show. It's something we've been looking for a while. And the search goes on, but it's been very nice to have you.
That's a double cheap shot.
That's a double.
It's a compliment and a backhand. If he's not here, you can give him a backhand. He won't listen anyway. He doesn't listen to anything that any of us ever say. Go well, Yannick. We'll hopefully see you in a European Cup final, a Heineken Champions Cup final before too long as well with Racing 92, and hopefully get the job done sooner rather than later. That's it from us. We are at Twickenham on Saturday. Keep across our socials at Good Bad and Rugby. We'll be having a lot of fun interviewing lots of interesting people. We've got Maggie Alfonsi, the great Magster, is coming to play with us as well. Ben's going to dip in. It's just going to be really nice back watching meaty heavyweight rugby with fans and in the company of Heineken. Thanks to all three of you. Enjoy the rest of your weeks. May the best team win. We'll be seeing you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening to The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. It can't have been easy.